Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
It's a very fine, fluffy day out
there. Isn't it?
Did you have trouble getting here?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I learned to drive in a snowstorm.
It's all good. Of course, you're from Eastern Canada.
Yeah. Just drive more slowly and...
Yeah. Take your time.
Don't take as many chances.
Don't try to speed that yellow light.
No. Yeah. No, no. It was fine.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Well, we...
How about you?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Your driveway's a bit steep, though.
My driveway is a challenge to get out of, but I've got the engineer to plow us out
there
first.
You go.
But yeah, driving, because he uses the old-fashioned method, the snow shovel.
The shovel?
But then driving down our street, which has not been plowed yet, like every neighbor was out with their snowblower.
Aw.
It was like, oh, if you guys had just gone a few more feet, our whole street would be plowed.
Wow.
Because everybody has a snowblower.
Yeah.
Feels like it,
anyway. I think they should do to snowblowers what they've done to Uber. To taxi cabs. Uber them.
Uber the snowblower.
Why does everybody need a snowblower?
I don't know. One person with a snowblower could do like 8-10 driveways in a morning.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right.
We're just not very
efficient. We need the library of things, right?
We do.
Yeah. And then snowblowers can be one of the things you check out of the library.
Yes.
And we just have to have it back in an hour. That's all.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we're not always smart with the division of labor, are we?
No. Or the division of tools.
No.
Like the community tool shed idea.
Absolutely.
That's needed too. All these unused tools sitting in people's garages.
There should be a community fridge.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's a big topic right now. The price of food is just going to go.
Yes. Puck, puck, puck. That's right.
Up, up, up.
Well, I was going to say if we had a community fridge, we could share our expensive cheese.
Yes, we could. It's just before it goes bad.
That's right. Which is today's topic is cheese.
The art of cheese.
The art of cheese.
Because
the cheese show.
It's the cheese show.
Well, because cheese is an art.
It is. It's become just like beer and wine and all kinds of things. There's been
chocolate
an explosion
and
of artisan products.
Yes.
Yes. And cheese has, well, cheese has always been an art form.
How come there's no artisan broccoli?
That's a good question. Okay, next week.
Okay.
So
the art of broccoli? No, maybe not. Although broccoli
actually,
is ridiculous.
The art of gardening should be a topic.
Oh,
because there are a lot of different methods of gardening that we should discuss. And there's also ways to make your garden look so beautiful.
And what about,
designing it properly, designing it to be, a continual harvest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and food right now, well, all the time is a big deal. But especially now with the dollar. I mean, a stem of broccoli. So I watch people in the grocery shop. Sorry to freak you out if you've ever grocery shop been ahead of me in a lineup at Askew's. But
I know you won't grocery shop with me anymore.
I love grocery shopping with you, but you get to make all the decisions because you're informed. You have better information than I do. But so the woman ahead of me the other day bought a broccoli like the size of both my hands, cupped, right?
Yeah.
$3.
Yeah.
Or $3.50.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got to think probably that stem is going in the garbage anyway.
Probably.
Right?
Or compost, I should
or
hope.
Or something, right? So then a bag of grapes, like the size of a lunch bag.
Coming from Chile.
$9.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
And then yesterday I was at the grocery store and tomatoes are $3.58 a pound.
Yeah.
Well, so we
because
need to,
tomatoes aren't growing in San Marino right now. That's why. And that's why we have to learn to eat seasonally.
And we have to understand how food happens and when it happens.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to can. I need to learn.
Oh, I can teach you how to can tomatoes. That is the most awesome method
really?
Ever. Yes.
Okay.
We'll talk about that
and we need,
during the Art of Gardening show.
Absolutely we need. And I think this is a huge opportunity for groups to reteach people how to garden, how to cook things from scratch.
Yes. Soup making.
You know what? Newsflash, you do not need iceberg lettuce in the wintertime.
No.
You might want it.
Yeah.
But you don't need it.
And guess what? You can grow kale in the winter.
Well, there. Or hydroponics or aquaponics.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that, but can't we be growing things?
We absolutely can. And because we knew we were going into an El Nino year, we planted cold weather crops.
You did?
Yeah. Oh. So Eric has these little tiny greenhouses out in our garden.
Yes.
Where there's all kinds of things growing.
Ooh.
In fact, there's a plant, I think it's called broccolini.
Okay.
Is that
broccolini.
Right? See, he's not even paying attention to us right now. Some kind of broccoli that's like like broccoli, but with not a compacted head of little buds.
Yeah.
You know? And so it grows in the winter and just becomes one of those brassicas that you can
broccolini
eat in your stir fry. does.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
But if you go to the grocery store and you have to have a thing, you will pay a premium.
Yes.
So we need to be flexible.
Yeah.
I think.
So instead, look at lovely things like Cole Cannon and chicken pot pie.
Yes.
And things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I know some people aren't fans of canned food, but canned food is cheaper. Mm-hmm. Frozen food can be cheaper.
Frozen food is way better than canned.
Yes.
Because it's generally frozen fresh.
Right.
And sometimes it's just, you know, it's a matter of it being slightly not the right color or little bumps on it or something. And that's what, you know, how it gets processed into frozen. But yeah, it's like the best, next best nutrient value after fresh.
Is frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, I buy frozen oftentimes, but especially in the winter.
Yeah.
Well.
Because it's cold
exclusively
anyway.
Exclusively in the winter. Yeah. But I think we can make those dollar budget, those grocery budgets go.
Mm-hmm. But do you know what else?
And we
costs a lot of
we
money.
We need to and the distribution system.
Oh well, that's
as sophisticated as it is completely failing us because of the dollar.
Yeah.
So we can be like, woe is me, no yellow peppers for me this winter. Or we can look at a new opportunity, like maybe we should be learning how to make our own cheese.
Yes,
because cheese is also expensive.
Cheese is very expensive. But we do have some local producers,
and
it keeps well.
Yes.
I mean, not for a huge long time, but certain cheeses will keep longer than others. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not that hard to make like a fresh, unripened cheese on your own in your fridge. So yeah, we're going to talk about all of that.
All kinds of cheese.
But let's go way, way back.
Way, way back.
In time, the historical beginnings of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So you know
how... there's been cheese as long as there's been milk.
Yes.
And there's always been milk.
Yeah.
Because, and not just cow's milk.
But. Right. So interestingly, when we're born, we have all the necessary enzymes to process lactose.
Okay.
To digest lactose.
Okay.
Slowly over time, we lose that enzyme. I mean, the purpose is so that we can absorb our mother's milk.
Yes.
Right? So slowly as we become adults, we lose the ability to do that. And therefore, every adult technically is lactose intolerant.
Wow.
Yeah. We should not be drinking milk as adults. So what cheese does for you, though, is cheese removes a lot of the lactose.
Oh.
And what lactose there is, well, during the acidification process, becomes lactic acid.
Okay.
So cheese makes milk more digestible for adults.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So there you go.
Well, that's good to know.
So they think...
Yes.
Now, knowing that the insides of certain ruminants' stomachs are filled with rennet.
Okay.
That's the bacteria or enzyme or whatever that does lots of breaking down of things. They think that cheese started because our ancestors carried milk in sacks made from like sheep stomachs, goat stomachs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it
when nothing was wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it would curdle, right? Because of the rennet in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so
how fun would that have been? I discard cheese.
Yeah. Like what first guy actually went, gross. What is that? I think I'll try it.
Yeah. You try it. No, you try it.
So that all that is separating the curds from the whey.
Mm-hmm.
So if you strain it from that point, so if you add rennet and you strain the curds out and you separate the whey, which is the liquidy icky, or well, that's not necessarily icky for some people. That's important stuff. Then the curds can be pressed and that's cheese.
There you go.
Done.
Voila.
Yeah.
And then it's aged and it needs air and it's alive. That's the other thing.
Yeah. There's all kinds of cheese growing
alive.
Things in it. Yeah.
Yes. I didn't realize I've been wrapping my cheese wrong this whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What do you do?
Well, because cheese needs oxygen. So if you put, say, you put your Parmesan in an airtight Tupperware,
yeah,
it doesn't get the oxygen that it needs.
Oh.
So it needs to be wrapped more loosely.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes.
So, but Parmesan
and then,
is.
But then stuff like blue moldy cheese, if you leave it open, the mold spores will travel around in the fridge and make other things moldy.
Right.
So it just depends.
Yeah. And then there's certain kind
there's
like
rules there's about everything.
Surface ripened cheese, which has all of its bacteria or molds or yeast or whatever on the outside, like brie, right? It's all on the outside. And then there's internal ripened cheese that's the stuff like blue cheese, which is all on the inside.
Right.
So yeah, some of them have it's already all on the outside and you gotta kind of contain it, right?
Interesting.
I know. And
but
you're eating it.
Wrap it more loosely. That's so why brie is wrapped in that sort of
That
waxy,
kind of tissue-y.
Yeah. Like you don't have to like seal that puppy up in a Ziploc.
Yeah. Because it probably needs that.
It does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, storage. Cheese storage is a whole different.
Absolutely. There's a whole course just in storage.
Oh, yeah. Have you looked up? Okay. This in and the then process of my research.
Breathe like ahead of time.
Yeah.
You have to take it out of the fridge.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, technically,
yes.
Cottage cheese is the only cheese that is not supposed to be served at room temperature.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to eat cottage cheese at room temperature. No. Anyway, but yes.
Yeah. But that's like you're supposed to leave it out.
Yeah.
And let it warm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't do that.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like out of the fridge, chop. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
And then people chop it for hors d'oeuvres and then stick the whole thing back in the fridge till their company
yes,
comes.
Yes, because right? God forbid it should, right? Not be refrigerated. Yeah. We're also obsessed with refrigeration. But.
Yeah. Anyways. Yes. Okay. So back into the history.
Okay.
Thing. So now, you know, that was in, I think, 7,500 years ago, they've discovered pottery pieces that have these kinds of fatty acids embedded in them that prove that there was cheese making going on.
Yeah, because cheese touches where it lives and you can find right
yeah and so that was in a Polish region actually of Kujawia something like that
sounds good to me
so 7500 years ago. So Europeans have been making cheese for a long time and that's what we mostly know of our regular cheeses is the regions that they're famous for, right? Like Parma in Italy is famous for Parmesan,
yes,
and Camembert and Brie in France.
Yes.
Gouda. From the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And is Swiss cheese called Damer.
Yeah, from Switzerland.
There is, yeah. Gouda is a place.
Is it a place?
Yeah.
Good. Well, that.
It's a city.
That's Gouda to know.
I know. Ah! I'm doing the double pointy.
I know, right? We're here
guns.
All week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Swiss cheese from Switzerland.
Yeah. Which is like a Mastdamer. Have you had the Mastdamer that Gortz has made?
No.
Oh, it's so yummy.
Is it so yummy?
But it's like, it's the Swiss style sort of thing. Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of
Gruyere?
Different. Oh, yeah. Gruyere is also
Swiss, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a trip around the world, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Greeks eat more cheese than anybody else.
Yeah. Feta. Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you know that Gouda makes up more than 50% of the world's consumption of cheese?
Yeah.
Huh. I know. And like you'd think just from North Americans alone, we eat cheddar.
Yeah,
like
that orange, horrible orange cheddar.
Yeah.
Newsflash, cheddar is not orange.
Yeah.
And yet.
It is colored that way.
Why do we do that?
I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't know. I wonder if it's. Do you remember when margarine used to have to be a different color than butter?
No, I don't remember that.
And it had like this horrible orangey dye.
Ew. Just to identify it from its
It was kind of a partner. Sometimes it's a regulatory thing.
Ugh.
Like a little bit of a turf war.
Oh.
So margarine had to have that, except in Quebec. Quebec's margarine didn't have to. It's weird.
Oh man.
But anyway,
okay,
I think that's been
choose.
Suspended now, but
I hope
sometimes those impacts they're either marketing driven or regulation driven. They're not really
Just choose white cheddar, right?
Yeah.
Like you can. It's possible. But then I don't know what marble cheese is all about either. Like what the heck? Just one color and then a no color mixed together? That's crazy.
The art of cheese making, because it is an art.
It is an art.
Mm-hmm. And the art of cheese eating.
Yeah, well, it is now.
Yes.
Have you been to a gathering
storage.
Over the Christmas holidays where there was like 25 different kinds of cheese out there for you to try?
Cheese figures highly in my holiday festivities.
Yes. Well, like my one daughter says frequently, cheese is life.
Yes. because cheese is alive.
Well,
but that's for me, it's all about the bread and the cheese.
Yeah.
Bread, cheese, chocolate, oranges.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Did you?
End of.
Okay, I have to bring it up.
Eggnog.
I have to bring, that's part two. Bring up the shuffle demons.
Oh, yeah.
So Roots and Blues, I don't even know how long ago, 3, 4, or 5 years ago when they were on main stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Richard Underhill said how much he loves to come home because his mom makes him, you know, all his yummy food. And then he sang this song that was inspired by coming home and his mom making him food.
Aww.
It was called Cheese and Bread.
Aww.
Cheese on Bread.
Nice.
Yeah. So they're up there singing so Shuffle Demons, cheese on bread, cheese on bread, cheese on bread, cheese, cheese on bread. And I'm like, I think I need to go get pizza.
Yeah, I know.
So it was
not
gone.
Even subliminal. Aw.
It was a great song.
Aww.
We still sing it.
I think we're friends on Twitter.
Wow, that's so exciting.
I know we've talked on Twitter before.
Well, I think it's clear that even important musical celebrities love their cheese.
Love cheese.
I don't know anybody who doesn't like cheese. And in fact, even if you're lactose intolerant, right, you should be able to eat cheese.
Yes.
And if you find you can't eat cheese, it might be a milk allergy and not lactose intolerant.
And not lactose intolerant.
Right. Because very little cheese has
I feel that we all love cheese, but some of us have greater degrees of...
Yeah. Well, you can, even if you're lactose intolerant, you should be able to eat Parmesan.
Okay.
Parmesan has the least amount, like it's like nothing. There's nothing left of lactose in there.
Yeah. Is that right?
Scientific facts about cheese.
I love buying cheese. I don't know if I like what I like more, buying the cheese or eating the cheese.
Oh, come on.
Buying the cheese is way up there for me.
Well, it's pretty exciting. Yeah, that's true.
I love going to the cheese window, like at an Italian deli. Which we don't have any here anymore, which is sad. But
you could go out to Grassroots and do the little testers.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I love buying cheese that's older than young children, you know, like 36
been more than your
Yeah, I know.
Your own sons.
I went to Italy when the boys were little, and I bought cheese that was older than my kid. I just thought that was the funniest thing. It was 36 months, and he was only 12. I'm like, look, I bought cheese that's three times as old as my kid. Yeah, anyway.
So,
yummy.
There's
and then the things, all the accoutrements, you know, you need the rasp, and you need the special cheese knife and cheese board.
Right.
It really is a very elegant.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn it into a really elegant affair, because you can have the soft cheeses with the little tiny knife and the perfect crackers for just that, and then the hard cheeses and the cheese ball you can make with the nuts, and you could have every kind of cheese
and
have it look entirely different everywhere.
And for some people it never left, but in a way it's coming back.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe we're appreciating it a
little
more.
It's
more than just slices and
yeah, there's so many different kinds now. There's like 1,750 different kinds of cheese on the website cheese.com.
Yes, which is a great website. I found it. And you can follow them on Twitter and get all the latest.
Oh my gosh. So now, from 74 different countries are producing cheese.
Of which one is Marble?
Oh, what's Marble?
So Marble is a combination of Colby and Monterey Jack as a general rule. So it actually is two cheeses.
It is.
Squished together. I just thought it was one cheese.
Like an amalgamation.
Two colors. Yeah.
I always thought it was some brand of cheddar that just was kind of randomly colored.
Colby's not what it used to be. When I was little, Colby cheese was the big thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Monterey Jack was invented in California.
Oh.
Yeah, that was not a European cheese.
No.
But the guy, he was a Scotsman who knew about some traditional cheese methods, and there he is in California serving up, selling product during the, mid-1800s or something like that, and developed it because...
It's that old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, it was more
I
than just 20 years
ago. That was
invented
like for nachos or something.
Well, it kind of was. The California, sort of Tex-Mex, Baja kind of flavor arrangement, right? Hmm. So, yeah. But you see, this is the thing about cheese, is that when you are creating cheese, and this has become a big thing now, you adapt the flavors of the environment into your cheese by aging it in place, right?
So that's terroir.
Yeah.
Right?
It's critical for these cheeses to be aged in their specific way because that's their flavor, and then that's what they become known for.
And it depends on the soil. It depends on the what kind of herbage, I guess, the cows or the...
Yeah, if they're grass-fed.
The livestock are eating or...
Yeah. And what's the smells in the area, right? Like in our area, there's Shuswap smells. There's the smell of coniferous trees and the soil has a certain smell. And so, yeah, we do have, and then there's actually the, I have to tell you this. Okay. So just as an example, one of the new cheeses that Terroir is making is called Kermode. And some chef that tried it had a quote that says, it's an amazing, Kermode has an amazing lemony grass flavor with hints of barn. That rivals the best soft cheese from France.
Well, there you go.
Hints of barn.
Yes.
So even your barn is going to enter the flavor of your cheese. So you better make sure your barn stays the same
forever
to keep that flavor.
Wow.
I know, it's very complicated.
Yeah. Well, it's an ecosystem, I guess.
Yeah. Right? And then in France.
Yes.
What was this, Roquefort?
Oh yeah.
Roquefort cheese.
Roquefort, yeah.
So Roquefort cheese has to be ripened in Roquefort, designated caves in southeastern France.
Well, yeah, because Rochefort is hard rock.
Hard rock.
Or the stubborn hard rock. Rock. Yeah, hard yeah. rock. So, of yeah. course, it would be in caves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't be Roquefort if it wasn't no. ripened in those caves.
No. And it's not Camembert if it's not from a certain place. And, yeah. Right? And it's not Parma if it's not.
Yeah.
So it's Parmesan got, if it's not from Parma.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it like it just doesn't matter the skill of your cheesemaker. If you're no. not making it and aging it in that space, in mm-hmm. that environment, then it's not going to taste the same.
No, it's not. It's like champagne. It can only be from Champagne in France. And Bordeaux can only be from the Bordeaux
yeah.
region. It can be inspired by, but...
it just won't be the same?
No, no. It's a tricky business. Then you've got guilds of, you know, there's cheesemakers and... And there's, again, there's a whole big culture. Ah, get it? Another cheese joke culture.
Anyway. That's great. Get it? Great.
There's a whole, oh, there we go. Good one. So, yeah, what was what's that going with that? This that is a culture.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, I guess the show is really about all the things you can curate. And you can curate. The cheese experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you, do you know what now? It's, speaking of expensive food.
Yes.
It's not that hard to make your own cheese.
No.
You can do it.
We could. I've seen it done on TV.
Have you ever made yogurt?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently yogurt's not that hard to make.
No.
But if you can make yogurt, you can make cheese.
Well, maybe there'll be artisan yogurt soon.
Probably. But so yogurt is apparently, I mean, you start with milk and there's a process. I don't even know. But when you learn to make yogurt, you learn the proper sort of techniques to keep things clean.
There's cheesecloth. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to drip, let all the other stuff drip out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you're doing, like when you make a soft cheese, you're actually supposed to use coffee filters.
Really?
Yeah. Because oh. that, but it's a long, slow drain.
Mm-hmm.
But cheesecloth, I think, is when you already have the curds.
Oh, I see.
And you're
see.
Draining out the whey.
Okay.
Yeah. But with yogurt, you can make your own soft cheese. So, you know, like the goat cheese that
yes,
you get
yes,
in a little
yes.
tube.
Mm.
You can make that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just strained yogurt.
Yes.
In the fridge. Like
there you go.
Several hours. Coffee filters with a lid on it. Like, do it.
Do it.
Fine.
Or try it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, actually, there's a word. It's a Middle Eastern cheese called labneh,
mm-hmm.
and that's all that is, strained yogurt. So, you can make that.
Yeah, and almost every culture has a form of cheese.
Yeah. And then you can add rennet.
Yes.
And it goes that step further. And it makes it a ripened cheese.
Okay.
But not pressed.
Okay.
You don't have to press it.
And then there's different kinds of milk, pasteurized and unpasteurized.
Yeah. Because raw milk makes a whole different kind of cheese totally than pasteurized. Whole,
yes. And some people love their raw milk cheeses,
yeah.
but they can't get them because they're illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in some places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or under the radar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can't import raw milk cheeses from France, I think, anymore.
Oh, okay.
Which caused quite quite an uproar in Quebec where they're super big on their cheeses.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can get local raw cheese, mm-hmm. right? It's just you can't import it or export it, I mean.
I don't know. I think you have to get it right from the source, and I don't think you can buy it. Hmm. I think you can just try it or be given.
Oh.
I haven't done my research, okay. but I know it caused a fairly big uproar.
Because this is huge. Like raw milk cheese is apparently far superior.
Much better.
Because you're dealing with a natural set of enzymes and bacteria and everything yep. that are supposed to do what they're doing. And as soon as you pasteurize things, you kill all the stuff that is supposed to actually help that process.
Right.
So then you're adding it all back in. You know, it's kind of a crazy system.
It is.
So it's better to go with the raw. But whatever. Anyway.
Yes.
Whatever the weird agricultural regulations are.
Well, yeah, it just
are,
has to do with selling. And liability, yeah. again, regulatory, right? Sometimes yeah. the regulatory framework changes.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is when you're dealing with a small producer, you know, they're more able to handle the raw milk processing because, or the raw milk product, because they can keep their facility super clean
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, really well managed. Like, they are really dealing with a small
yeah, like
operation
I have
that
these
has
cows. That's it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know what I'm feeding those cows, and I know the kind of equipment I'm using to milk those
yes.
cows. I know where that mm-hmm. milk is being stored. Right, like mm-hmm. you can keep control over all mm-hmm. of that, so you got a better chance of having a great product
right.
at the end.
And then I think it's complicated by the market, the
yeah.
marketing board system,
yes.
which is great for cheese farmers, great for dairy farmers, and great for cheese.
Yeah,
but can be challenging. for consumers in terms of pricing and so on.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm not sure the dairy farmers are very happy right now.
Well, no, not with the TPP, but
yeah.
We'll see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, that's right. So, just so you know, I think like terroir is one of our local cheese things, and I think they do a raw milk cheese because it's their own dairy, their own cows, their own processing, their own product. They sell local. I'm fairly certain.
Unpasteurized?
Well, is that what that means?
Yeah.
Raw milk, just unpasteurized? That would make sense. There's lots of different ways to make sure that you're...
Yeah, there's question marks coming up for me. I'm not sure. I wish I'd done more. I didn't think the conversation would go in this direction, but there's always a regulatory framework that kind of impacts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about terroir cheese is they're really, like, they're using this whole climate and flora and fauna, the shoe swap to really market their cheese.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you could only, that cheese can only be made here.
Yeah.
And like, unfortunately, Armstrong cheese is no longer from Armstrong.
It's like Abbotsford cheese or something.
Abbotsford cheese, Quebec cheese. It's owned by Saputo, and Saputo has a dairy farm. You know, they buy milk from all over the country.
Yeah, and Saputo is not not a good treater of cows.
So you need to you need to know your brand story.
Know what your brand, like if you like a certain kind of cheese, know where it comes from, know what the master company is, whatever that's called when somebody owns another company, and then check out their treatment of their cows or their dairy farmers, or because you know the farmers are often the ones that are treated the worst.
Yes, and well sometimes the cheese, like Askew's, has its own cheese, but they just it's branded cheese they buy from a bigger producer,
right? That's chopped into chunks.
So
and
those
then
are
sold.
Called grocery brands. Probably the same with Presence Choice, although Presence Choice does have some nice kind of artisan cheddar that they do.
Yeah. Well, in any case, be aware, right?
So, but the closer research. You can get to the farm, the better. Like you can go right here to Grassroots.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm all out of cheesy puns.
Aw.
I used great.
Great.
We used Gouda.
Gouda.
And used culture.
A culture.
Okay. Somebody's got to come up with some cheesy puns.
I don't know.
So before
I'm
we
sure,
get into...
Isn't there... There's a meme on Facebook.
Of course there
I'm
is.
I'm going to Google that right now. Okay. I mean, maybe at the next break. I know we don't Google while we...
So did you know Croatia Google. Croatia has a cheese called Ziglijin iz Mosta?
No, but I believe it.
It's pretty ugly looking.
I bet.
Apparently pretty awesome.
Mm.
And there's a from the U.S., there's an aged cashew and blue-green algae cheese.
Wow.
Yeah. Yum.
You can see the look on your face. Yum.
Well, I'm just saying, there's so many.
My favorite is brie, hands down.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I just tried Manchego for the first time this Christmas, and then I looked that up, and it apparently, it's a Spanish cheese, and Spain is really quite well known for Roncal, and that's a like a older, or a more aged, sharper version of Manchego. And Manchego, you can get at Askew's right here locally. So try that. That's
there
a new
go.
Whole different wonderful.
All the way from Spain?
All the way, apparently.
We could go on a cheese tour of countries.
Oh,
that
there you
be
go.
Fantastic.
That would be cool. Okay, I have a challenge for you.
Okay. Oh, we have it.
There's a container full of stinky cheese.
Oh, that's. Are we trying?
You are trying.
Okay.
It. You can smell it first, like the glass of wine, if you like.
It's very cheesy.
It's.
It's crumbly.
Yeah, it's kind of got a parmesan texture.
Yummy.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what this cheese is yet. A friend of mine brought it to a gathering and then
it's almost got like a nutty thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
it's delicious.
And said it's a super expensive cheese, but she didn't want to bring it home again. So she gave it to me and it's just, I can't sort it out. Right. Like I'm looking at it like,
it's like if Parmesan met a cheddar.
Yeah.
Right.
And had a baby.
It's got notes of.
Yeah. But it is nuttier.
Mm-hmm.
It's super, like it's quite dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really dark orangey brown color. Well, not super dark, but
it almost looks like a piece of dried mango.
Yeah.
Except it's cheese.
Yeah.
Right?
You seem to be enjoying yourself.
I am enjoying myself. I'm totally distracted now.
Sorry about that.
So, you know, there are, I just found this interesting. In Quebec, there's a lot of brotherhoods that, you know, monks, orders of monks, and they make cheese.
Cheese monks.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So Oka cheese in Quebec is very famous.
Oh, yes.
Because of the brothers who make the cheese.
Oh.
So orders of monks are very self-sufficient. And so this is one of the things that they do to sustain their order is to make cheese. And they've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds.
Wow. So they must have their own years. Cows and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, in fact, Quebec is different from the rest of the country because Quebec was settled by France. And France has like I don't know what the word is in English, but a seigneurie system, almost like a lord of a county, and then they divide up all the land.
Oh, okay.
And all of the settlers get a little piece of land.
Okay.
So if you fly over Quebec, it feels like a random story, but it all tie together again. When you fly over Quebec, you can tell you're in Quebec because the land plots are long and skinny.
Oh.
So the lord, or this, like it's like Downton Abbey, but the French version. So the lord of the county would divide the land in strips so that everybody got a piece of the river. Okay. Because you needed to feed
your cows.
Cows.
Yeah.
So in Quebec, there's a really deep-rooted history of dairy and cheese making, and nothing is wasted. And so there's all these little regions within Quebec of different kinds of cheese you can only get there because of... They were on that river, and their land was this way, and they had this kind of vegetation and these kind of cows, and it's fascinating.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's serious stuff. Mm-hmm. Long history.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they invented the poutine, the cheese curd, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, again,
They invented that?
Poutine is Quebec, yeah?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the monks...
Well, no, not the monks. No, but it was invented not too far from a big dairy area in Quebec.
Huh. Well, that's in.
I mean, they didn't invent the cheese curd, but they invented a new way to use it.
Wow. Now, so again, that's valuable information.
I know. And we innovate sometimes for strange reasons, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know.
I know.
Poutine has made an entrance into my life, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
Since well, I just find it sad.
French immersion.
Yeah. It's a bit like. Well, it's very popular, so that's good. But. It frustrates me when we're known for something that's like so marginal compared to what, you know, of all the cheeses, cheese curds are probably not, you know.
Yeah. You mean they're kind of simple in a way.
It's kind of like being known for the cheese slice. Like, I don't know. Right. Or it's the white bread of bread. Like we could do a whole show on bread too.
Yeah.
And starters and... So, but like in Quebec, there's cheese curds everywhere. Every grocery store, you go to the 7-Eleven, there's little bags of cheese curds that you put them in your lunch, you know?
Yeah.
It's a culture.
Yeah. And here, like I know we've been able to get cheese curds at D. Dutchman Dairy for ages. Like they've been doing it since way back.
Yeah, but they're like four times the price. So here they're kind of a luxury.
Yeah.
There in Quebec, it's a staple.
Yeah. But they're not that actually... I don't find them more expensive than just a little block of cheddar.
Oh, you don't?
Okay. No. They're kind of the same, on the same par, I think.
Do they squeak?
They do. This is the thing. I bought, actually,
they need to squeak.
A little. And actually, when one of my daughters went to Quebec for the grade 8 trip, that was the thing. Oh. Bring back curds.
I do bring cheese back all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we brought back, or they brought back curds, and we had petit. We were all excited. And it was really nice. But then when we had the D. Dutchman Dairy curds, the next time we're like, huh. Not really much difference.
Good to know.
It was pretty good.
Good to know.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing it for a long time. See, D. Dutchman Dairy has been kicking around since 1978. So they've got, you know, as in Canadian terms, that's a long history of cheese making and with their own cows as well, right? The same with Grassroots.
D. Dutchman, Terroir, Grassroots. Dairy. There are probably others.
And Grassroots, I mean, in 1981 is when the Gort family started Grassroots. They emigrated from Holland. And so, Gouda became their thing. And Cork.
Can you melt Gouda, like have fondue with Gouda, or is that Gruyere?
It's totally different. I think other kinds are better for melting for fondue. I don't know how well Gouda melts.
And then, of course, we had a lot, when Saint-Marc was first settled, a lot of... Have you ever noticed, like, there's Swiss influences along the highway? There are a lot of Swiss guides would come, and they brought their whole cheese culture with them.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And so
because fondue.
Yeah. And so what's important to recognize, I think, with some of our local ones like Grassroots and with Terroirs, they're using like really agriculturally sustainable practices, organic feed, or like the cows are grass fed, they're pastured. I mean, they're really treating their whole production in a healthy, sustainable way. I think it's just important to recognize.
I mean, it's really nice when you can eat a cheese and know which cow that this cheese came from. This cow.
Yeah.
So it's almost like what the almost like antiques. What's the provenance of the thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Exactly. And you're eating a history every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
And so the closer you can get to knowing, what farm did my tomato come from? What cows did my cheese come from? What where did my milk come from? Mm-hmm. I think the better off you are. So the longer the distribution chain, the more trouble we get. It might be cheaper, but there are more other costs.
There's other costs. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's, I mean, you're feeding your body for Pete's sake. You have to know what's going in there. Looking at the long-term health, right? Well, try not to garbage it up too much. Keep it pure.
Too much, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so then the other thing that the Gort family did was Massdamer. So that's the Swiss style cheese I mentioned before. But they also started to do with all the flavored goudas and started making feta cheese and yogurt and cream and creme fraiche.
Ooh, yummy.
Have you had that stuff?
No.
One time I went out to, it was years and years ago, went out there during a Christmas sort of special thing, right? Mm-hmm. You could try the cheeses and buy cheese baskets and they had hot chocolate with creme fraiche that you could put in. And so it's kind of like a cross between whipping cream and sour cream.
Okay.
That sort of kind of flavor.
Okay.
And it's thick. And you put a dollop on your hot chocolate. Oh.
So it's like thick whipping cream?
Thick whipping cream with a bit more of like with less sweet flavor.
Okay.
More of a, I don't know, just a more cured flavor, like a little tiny bit cheesy. It was.
So whipped cream, the consistency of sour cream?
But lighter than sour cream, heavier than whipped cream.
How have I never done this?
I don't know.
Is it like clotted cream like that?
I think kind of like that sort of consistency might even be the same kind of thing because clotted cream is British, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So do we have a Canadian cheese? Because cheddar is British and brie is French.
We don't really because, cheddar and mozzarella and all the things that we're sort of, that we make here mostly came from Europe, like the cheese making.
Well, that
traditions
of,
came from here. But we do have lots of cheese makers in Canada. It's just that there's nothing that was born here.
No.
The closest is Monterey Jack that was born in California.
Well, maybe that's what Colby cheese was.
Oh, yes. Well, except Kermode cheese is born here.
Well, that's
here.
Right. That's exciting.
But still, I mean, it'll become like the style of cheese. There hasn't been a new style of cheese. It's mostly just variations on the traditions that have existed for hundreds and thousands of years.
Well, maybe Oka.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's... It's a round. I think it's a hard cheese.
And then you got to think about where it's... Like where those skills came from, right?
Where they would have come from France.
Yes. Yeah. And so did they develop a new thing? But of course, I guess it is all a new thing because the new environment that it's being created and aged in is a new thing that they can't duplicate in France.
No, they can't.
So, So there is Canadian cheese.
Yes, I know.
We just didn't invent it. That's all.
Just didn't invent it.
Yeah.
Now, and the cheese, you know, there's, and people, as I say, it's a culture. It's ever evolving and,
well, and now you can...
And more and more artisanal cheeses.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Now what's happening is people are adding flavor things to it, right?
Like, I wish we had a cheese market.
Yeah, that would be fun. Although we can get cheese at Wild Flight Market when you go up there at Wednesday.
But I would like to have a cheesemonger.
Oh.
And a fishmonger. We don't have a fishmonger.
No, we don't have a fishmonger.
I wonder if it'll swing back to...
You know,
it'd be so great to go to the bread store for your bread and the cheese store for your cheese.
Well, I think that the writing's on the wall for Canada. We went down for the last 10 years, went down the resource resource-based economy road for quite a long time here. And now we have to go back.
Yeah.
We have to go back to manufacturing our own stuff, to making our own food. Mm-hmm. And so I'll bet you we do. I'll bet you we swing back.
Yeah, so it'll be smaller, more exclusive, a little pricier, but it'd be nice to have a... We don't have a fish. I don't know. I mean, we did have that fish place, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we try too hard to be too many things to too many people.
I think a lot of people, we're dealing with a generation that has grown up with big box stores. Mm-hmm. And they're used to one-stop shopping. Mm-hmm. So they want to go in. They don't care that it's in a box and it's been boiled and shredded and steamed and mushed and colored and repressed.
Or caught in Alaska and... frozen in Russia and packaged in China.
Yeah.
It happens, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that Highlander fish mm-hmm. that looks like it's coming off the coast of eastern Canada, mm-hmm. goes all the way to Russia, mm-hmm. and then comes back in these little
flash
Highlander
freeze
package.
It on Russian frigates or something. Yeah. Russian ships.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
And then the Indonesian shrimp.
Oh, like, yeah.
Don't do that.
No, don't do that. No. No. We're not doing that. Anyway, we're a little bit off.
Well,
off topic, but it would be nice to have a cheesemonger.
Yes.
Yes.
It's
with a proper apron in a little store. Be
yeah.
great.
Yeah. It's like a permanent farmer's market is what we're mm-hmm. talking about, right? A place where there's a specific booth for every kind of local product there is.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that idea. Let's get on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll put it on my list.
It's my favorite thing. I'll get a man right on that.
Yes.
See, it used to work better before I was married because my last name was Mann.
Oh.
M-A-N-N.
I'll get a man on it.
Yeah. Oh. So now it just looks like I'm yes. saying that okay. only men are capable.
No, I get it now. I get it.
Okay. And I just want one last thing because I covered a lot of the countries. Somerset, England is known for its very famous farmhouse cheddar.
Okay.
So that's a really important cheddar location is Britain.
Yes.
Something about the farmhouse cheddar.
Well, didn't cheddar come from Britain?
I think possibly yes, it was developed it there. Yes. And now American farmhouse is a whole genre of cheese as well.
Oh.
So that might be the same style like of production that they adopted. And now because it's in the States, they have their own flavor of farmhouse cheddar.
Yes.
But yeah.
Wow.
That's that.
So much. I mean, there are 1,700 different kinds of cheeses.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it would take a long time to try them all.
I think we should get started right away.
Okay. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
One wouldn't think you could come up with a dramatic moment about cheese.
Oh, yes, you can. So, Wisconsin, there are more cheese made in Wisconsin than anywhere else in the United States.
Oh.
Yeah, but the cheese heads,
capital.
Right, the cheese capital.
Okay.
And it just so happens they have their own native Wisconsin native and cheese sculptor Sarah Kaufman.
A cheese sculptor.
She's a cheese sculptor. And she does incredible, unbelievable dragons and fish. And it's like almost, if you could imagine, let's say, an ancient Chinese ivory sculpture. You know? Very intricate. Marble sculpture, not ivory. Sorry, ivory's bad. But then just imagine it's cheese. That's how beautiful they are.
Wow.
It's really incredible. And so,
okay, I'm sorry, but I'm sort of imagining, okay, what do you got to do to that sculpture to make sure it doesn't turn into blue cheese?
I don't know. She did an Eiffel Tower here. All you have to do is Google cheese sculpture. She's done all kinds of things. Of course, she's probably a big hit at local fairs. Mm. but maybe what they do, if it's like the butter sculpture people, you do your work in like a big fridge, basically.
Yeah. I know, but still, even in the fridge, cheese will go funny, right?
Well, yeah, but...
And then there's always the like, you remember how at one point somebody said, if your cheese has mold anywhere on it, you have to throw the whole block out, right?
Yes.
Because mold is like a flower.
Okay.
You see the beautiful petals on the flower, but the roots go deep.
Oh.
Right? That's how mold works. However, now...
Really? Even on hard cheese?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But apparently, that's not the case anymore. You can actually cut off, there's a certain amount, like whatever, a quarter of an inch or something like that, around any mold, and you're pretty good. Then there's only a tiny bit of that mold left, and you're not getting any, you know, carcinogenic mold levels or anything. And, you know, the cheese is made of mold to begin with, so, you're getting kind of what you're already eating. So, yeah, and there's another thing about saving money. You do not have to chuck out your whole block of cheese just because there's mold on one corner of it.
No. Well, just eat it before.
I mean, try that, yeah. And you know that you can freeze cheese?
Oh.
Yes. Like, especially if you grate it, if you're going to use it for pizza and stuff
Okay.
Grate your cheese, put it in a Ziploc, throw it in the freezer. It's always good. You grab it. There
Perfect.
It is. Yeah.
Nice.
I know.
Wow.
So there's ways of managing your your, you know what we call the thing in the bottom of the fridge that you pull out where your vegetables go?
The crisper?
Yeah. Well, we call that the rotter.
The rotter. I know. And I mean, I guess that sort of speaks to, we do waste so much food.
Yeah. And we have to be careful to, like, we have to look in it every day. It's like, oh my gosh, I forgot I bought beets. Okay. We got to do something with the beets.
We got to do something with the beets. Yeah.
So don't find the cabbage 6 months later. Like, no. Look at it every day to see what's in the crisper.
And
don't let it be the rotter.
You know, meal plan and. Aren't we sounding bossy? But we
have to make some decisions here. We have to get more disciplined. Yeah.
And
as
we're
a
part of the distribution problem, right? If we're just buying, I'm going to buy that because it's cheap, but then we don't use it. Yeah. It's like a false.
It is
false demand.
Just like the lettuce in a bag.
Yes.
Right. Like, okay, so some farmer has grown this lettuce, or some corporation has grown
lettuce.
Yeah.
Don't let the system down.
Yeah, and then they've cut it, and then they've carried it to wherever it's going. They've bleached it because that's how they clean lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
They've chopped all the gook off of it, and then they've put it in a bag, a plastic bag, sealed it up, sent it to your grocery store using up gas and carbon and all that stuff. Sits on the shelf for 3 days. You buy it, you take it home, and then if you don't use it, like, come on, you're throwing out a plastic bag full of bleached lettuce. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is so wasteful.
It fools the distribution system.
Yeah.
That demand wasn't really there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Artificial demand.
Yeah.
It's
so
bad.
So think about what you're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy something just because it's on sale.
Yeah. And maybe go to the grocery store more often instead of going for the big grocery. I go quite often.
Well, we were going every single day. It was actually kind of a problem. We thought, okay, this is ridiculous. We should be able to plan for 3 days ahead.
Yeah.
So that was our New Year's resolution, actually, to try to buy groceries for 3 days,
which
is so far working out okay, but still January.
If it were me, I would get rid of the big cart.
Ah.
Because I think the big cart is our big problem.
Yeah.
Just buy what you need.
Yeah.
And put it in the little cart.
And shop the outside aisle.
Yes. And when the cart is full, just
go
home.
Yeah.
And eat that. And when you're done, go back and get some more. Right?
That's true. Well, that's how they do it in Europe. They
the
shop every
cart.
Day.
Every day.
Every day they go to market and buy everything fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But of course, that's an area like in the Mediterranean where things are growing year-round. So it's easier that way. But
could, things could grow year-round here if we had greenhouses and hydroponics.
Yeah, and there's certain things that are hardier and things that can be stored in the ground, like people who grow carrots and certain root vegetables, parsnips and turnips and things. You can actually store those things in the ground until you're ready to use them.
Until you're ready to,
Yeah.
And to have cold rooms and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think
it's swinging back.
Yes.
Yes.
I hope so because we're going to need to.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say that the capitalist system that exists today is not going to last.
I don't think so.
No. We have to learn a whole new system, and we can't
and
keep
not
expecting...
Not tomorrow, within a generation or two, but it's definitely...
And we can't keep expecting the government to fix the economy.
No.
Because they make decisions that are not necessarily based on our long-term health. And, like, look at where we are now with the oil, right? Like, we switched from manufacturing to resource extraction, and now we're in a mess because of the price of oil. So we have to stop letting...
Well, and it's this idea that someone else can fix it.
Yeah.
The question should... We can't wait around for someone else to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this guy said he could do that, and that would fix it. No, no. We have to look at the conditions as they are and see what you can do to make it better.
Exactly.
Right?
If you want to see a better world, be the change you want to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you grow more food.
Or look for the opportunity, right? Like if you are an expert gardener and a canner and maybe know anything about hydroponic growing, this is like... The door, someone's knocking on the door for you.
Yeah.
Right? It's such an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, I have to admit, the structure of our system is set up so that it makes it difficult for brand new entrepreneurs who have a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it hard for them to succeed.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe that's the regulation part of this.
Mm-hmm.
We need a government to say, okay, we value small business, we value innovation, we're going to put some money so that people like that have great ideas have income for 2 years until their great idea gets off the ground.
Yeah, that's definitely. And in there are some of those programs do exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just have to keep digging. Right?
Yes.
But this idea that somebody else can deliver the solution, I think is a mistake.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get over it really quickly.
And the only thing I want to say about the dramatic cheese sculpture is I want to know what happens to the cheese after.
I hope they eat it. I hope it's like the chocolate one. Then at some point they have a party and bust it apart
good.
And eat it.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder what happens to all the food on the Food Network shows?
Oh, no, I don't. I would think that the cast and crew get to eat.
I hope so.
Like the cameraman sitting there drooling.
Yeah. 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 Speaking of Food Network, it was sold today to Corus Entertainment.
Really?
Yeah, Shaw sold off its media division to Corus, which owns like YTV and the kid stuff. Yeah. So,
well, speaking of explosions, and channels, TV channels is a whole other explosion. Remember when the Golf Channel started? I thought,
that's
that'll
never
work.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. All I watch is Food Network now.
Okay, we have a couple of minutes to talk about upcoming arts events.
But they don't talk about cheese on the Food Network very much.
What?
They should have a cheese show.
No kidding.
Have a cheese show.
Should they ever? They're the ones that know everything.
Maybe we should send them this podcast.
We could.
Speaking of which, our podcasts of the show are available online if you can't catch the repeats on Thursday mornings.
Yeah. Are we up to date?
Thursday nights and Friday mornings.
Are we all up to date?
No, I don't think we're up to date.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why you out there in Radio Land need to think about volunteering at your local community radio station.
And thank you to Anonymous, who probably likes a nice hard cheese.
I'll bet you.
Mm-hmm.
Probably those really nice sort of Mas Damer, you know. What's the new one? Mazuda, that Grassroots does. Mazuda is a semi-hard that kind of Swiss style, but has a bit more like
Do you think he's Anonymous is a cracker or a bread person?
Oh, that's a hard one. Maybe a really good cracker.
Oh, like a quality cracker.
Yes.
Yes. Like I'm all about the bread, but it's because I like the brie. So
yeah. Well, I mean, if you can make your own crackers too, right? Did you know you can make your crackers out of like wraps, right? Tortilla wraps?
Really?
Yeah. So a little bit of oil, a little bit of spice, whatever you like to use, maybe even some super finely grated Parmesan cheese.
Yes.
Bake it in the oven for just a few minutes. Bust it up. Crackers.
Voila.
Crackers.
Crackers.
Yeah. But also there's a recipe for those Raincoast crisps type crackers.
Oh, yes,
you know?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like a little bread and slice
the ones
it really
that are
thin.
Like $8 for 12.
Oh, I know. See, we've got to stop spending $8 on a little tiny box of crackers and learn how to make those things. So you can. Just look it up, like allrecipes.com.
Yes.
Okay, I got to talk about a couple of things coming up. So one of the things that's happening is the Film Society, of course, kind of keeps going over the winter, which is great. There's a week-long run of the film Spotlight, which is...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that was up for Golden Globe. I don't think it won, but it's kind of an important one. So that's going from the 15th to 21st at the Classic, and I think it's 7:30 p.m. Kamloops Symphony is this weekend, Sunday afternoon. It's the Magic of Vienna.
Oh.
Have you seen a Magic of Vienna performance?
No. Is it lovely?
It's really lovely. Aww. Because it's all like all the classics from Mozart. And
oh, wonderful.
The Viennese. And I think they all dress in beautiful dresses. Yes. And, you know, it's just lovely. So that's 2:00 on Sunday afternoon at the Rec Center. You can get your tickets either online through the Kamloops Symphony site or at the door. And they do Shugo tickets. So if you're a youth, you're a teen,
and you're interested in...
Yeah, use your Shugo ticket.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which you can buy at the gallery.
Oh, you can buy at the gallery. Yes. Of course, like right now, it's a bit difficult. You have to find us because we're closed until the new show opens.
Right.
So this coming Monday is delivery day for the registered artists. And then January 22nd is opening night for the membership.
That's right.
Yeah. We have like 49 people registered.
Wow.
And they can submit up to 2 works each. That's nearly 100 works.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we've got,
be busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we usually can only fit in between 30 and 40. I think like 45 at the most. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just also want to point out, did you go to the Theater on the Edge last year at all?
I did not, but I went to the opening.
Oh, okay.
I was out of town.
Yeah. So it was really quite successful.
Yes.
So this year they're expanding it by another day. And so you can apply to show your production at Theater on the
Edge
right now. Yeah. So they're accepting applications right up until February 12th. So if you want, you can go to the SheSwapTheater.com site, look for the Theater on the Edge application form and get that. I mean, that's another fun, like totally, I don't know, it's super inexpensive and the plays are short and they're totally experimental.
Oh,
so
it's our Fringe Festival.
Yeah, yes. It exactly is that. And it's fun because it's just, like, I think it's fun to experiment. You don't have to be, you know, super successful.
No. We're not all going to be Tony Award winning.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. And we have to kind of get out of that.
Yeah.
I think this culture of celebrity, we forget that not the celebrities weren't always celebrities.
Yeah.
Everybody has to start somewhere. So if you are a writer or a screenwriter or a screenplay or, you know, we want to act, now's the time.
Now is the time.
That's right. Don't okay. be afraid.
And Jazz Club continues too.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
January 21st is the next jazz night.
Everybody loves Jazz Club.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing to do on a winter's night mm-hmm. too. So, yeah, if you want any information on upcoming arts events, check our website, salmonarmartcenter.ca. Click on the participate page, and everything is listed by date.
And to come visit us on Facebook.
Yeah, Salmon Arm Arts Center.
Follow on Twitter.
Yeah, people were asking. I had two emails when I came back after the Christmas break looking for knitted tree photos.
Oh.
Yeah, so I sent them to our Facebook page because there's a bunch on there.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful exhibition for people to share photos of. Yes. And so there's tons online.
Oh, okay. Go yeah. check them out.
Yeah.
All right. While you're having a little cheese.
Yes.
Yes.
A little cork or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And maybe some port to go with that.
Oh, some port. Oh yes.
That'll cheese be another show.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine the wine show?
Yeah, it'll have to be after 5, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time.